So let's, you know, go to Ephesians chapter 3. A tree. Where does a tree grow from? Goes from its roots, right?
Yes, sir.
Grows from its roots. If a tree is rooted in good soil, it's going to grow well.
Right.
If it's rooted in bad soil, it's not going to grow very well. Okay? The better the soil it's in, the better the fruit it's going to bear. Especially a fruit tree, right? There's other trees that they bear, you know, they got seeds and cones and whatnot. But the better the soil, the better the chances of that tree is going to grow well. All right. The better for it to get the nutrients it needs, the better the trunk is going to be. All right. And if that trunk can get strong. Sorry, Miss McNabb, she lost her tree today or last night. All right. I am talking about trees, and one of her favorite trees, it got hit by lightning last night. And she sent me a picture this morning. She's like, we lost our beautiful tree. And it was a beautiful tree. And the funny thing is she's got this little statue of a dog. And the picture she took with the dog sitting there, the dog's like this. And there's this, you know, where the lightning hit and the tree went that way. I think the dog probably, you know, got a little scared that last night. It was like, whoa, that thing almost hit me. That's all I can imagine going through that dog. Of course, that dog isn't thinking, but, you know, it's funny. It's funny. But, you know, where a tree's planted, it makes a big deal. I mean, that tree was doing well until outside circumstances came in. There wasn't nothing wrong with it. We've had heavy winds, and that tree, no problem. It was planted well, had a good root system. And, you know, a tree with a good root system, it's going to make the difference, okay? It'll produce good fruit. It'll get strong. It'll grow good. It'll grow well. They say that most trees, that's what you see up above, that root system is down in the ground. So if you see a massive tree, that root system is just as big, just as deep. It's pretty amazing. So you think about it, if you're seeing a tree that's not doing too well, that means its root system isn't growing real big. All right. So our root system. What's it supposed to be rooted in? There's different things we would think it to be rooted in. Okay. But let's look in Ephesians 3. Look at verse 13. It says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Rooted and grounded in love. That's what our root system needs to be, rooted and grounded in love. Let's go to God in prayer tonight. Lord, we ask that you would put your blessing on this message. And Lord, give me the right words to say to be a help to the folks here. They came to get something from your word. And that's what I want to be able to do, is be used of you. God, may you and your word be lifted up, and Jason Dunbar be put off to the side, that I not be the focus, but you and what you've got here, this message. And Lord, we just ask that you would have your will and way in this service tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, there's a lot of good things we should have in our life. Okay? There's a lot of things that are different things that are taught. Going through this and reading over this passage and thinking about this phrase, rooted and grounded in love, I thought about some of these other things. Standards and separation. Amen. All right? That's often preached. We hear that a lot. Look, those are good things to have in your life.
Sure.
I believe in having, you should have some kind of standard, some kind of separation, all right? We should be different from the world, all right? And so you should have something. Okay, but that shouldn't beat your root system. should be rooted and grounded in standards and separation. What about doctrine? That's Bible, man. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. You should have some of that. You really should be getting into that, but that doesn't say to be rooted and grounded in doctrine. How about basics here? Church attendance. I'm a big believer in church attendance, okay? I'm here. If I'm not here, I'm sick. If I'm not here, I'm visiting somewhere else. I've not been here a couple of services. I've been at another church, or I've been preaching at another church. We're not just skipping to skip. We're in church. We're just not in our service here. That's good, but it doesn't say rooted and grounded in church attendance. How about Bible reading and prayer? Those are good things too. Doesn't say it though. I got thinking about it. Why is it that why rooted and grounded in love? Why not these things? Okay, I think they make the trunk of the tree. All right, if your life was the root system and you got saved, you got planted, you started growing. Okay, I think those things make that trunk, which strengthen you. Okay, so when the storms of life come, you can stay strong, you can stay firm. You're not going to waver. But that root system is to be rooted and grounded in love. And I was thinking about why that and not these. Well, I got thinking about myself. What happens if I'm not thinking about being rooted and grounded in love, but instead rooted and grounded in these other things? Well, if I see someone else that doesn't measure up to what I think they should be at, what do? I get judgmental towards them. All of a sudden, my love for them, gone. Well, that's not right. And so if I'm focusing and trying to be rooted and grounded in this, then someone who doesn't have standards like I do, they need to bring it up. I mean, I can't believe that they would just fill in the blank. I mean, there's plenty of things out there you can... Or doctrine. Well, they should know that by now. Why don't they know that? I mean, that's just simple. Or church attendance. Or why aren't they, they should be, they should have read their Bible through and through by now. They've been saved how long? That love is going to disappear real fast. Whereas if we're rooted and grounded in love, just thinking about this, what's going to happen? There's going to be a concern instead of a judgmental attitude. And it's instead of why don't they have these standards? How come they don't have this? How come, why aren't they solid in that doctrine? There's going to be a concern for them as to, man, how can I help them get there? Maybe they haven't learned something. Church attendance, man, maybe they just don't understand the importance of it. And there should be a care coming out of us towards them instead of that judgment. So rooted and grounded in love. Well, where does it start? Go to 1 John chapter 4. Starts at the very beginning, folks. Doesn't start with us. First John 4, look in verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You know where our root system gets started in that rooted and grounded in love is that love from the Father. Look, we don't love him until we have first experienced love from him. Okay?
And you're never going to experience that love from him until you've received the free gift of salvation. That's the first real love anybody experiences in their life. If you think, I mean, look, we get love from our mother and father, but man, the real love comes from God. Not that that love isn't real and genuine, all right, but just, wow, pure love at its best is right from God the Father. And we can't experience that until salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's nothing we can do to earn that love. There's nothing we can do to work to get that love. It was just freely given to us. Look around this room. I think, I believe everybody here is saved. I don't know for sure. I can't read into your hearts. I've got some friends. He's an assistant pastor at a church. He got saved last year. His wife just got saved a month or two ago. All right. Now, if you saw them, they were working in the church. They were doing everything. I mean, you would think, oh, yeah, they're saved. They're no problem. But they weren't. They looked good, but the inside wasn't. So that's why I bring this up, because look, folks, I can say, yeah, I think looks like everybody's saved, but I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're struggling with inside. If you want to know real love, well, you got to get saved first. And it's you got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can't earn it. It's simple, so simple, a 9-year-old boy could do it. And I've heard of even younger kids doing it, all right? But at 9 years old, man, I realize, hey, I'm bound for hell. I need Jesus as my Savior. Put my faith and trust in him. And that burden just gone. Gone. Once we do that, well, then we get to experience another kind of love. Because we experience the love as our Savior. But then all of a sudden we're his child. And we get to experience love as his child. He's my heavenly Father. And we get to experience the love of God as he loves us as a child. Now, sometimes that love comes with maybe a little chastening, a little, hey, I notice his chastening is to get us, it's to get us back on track, okay? Sometimes I think we get it a little messed up sometimes. We think, well, God just, he's just trying to, you know, oh, he's just testing me or something. No, if he chastens you, it's to bring you back because you're not where you should be. He needs you over here. And you're over here. You know, when I correct my boys, it's not because I look forward to it. It's because they're doing something that this has got to change. I don't want you doing this. I need you doing this. And you're not, words aren't working right now to get you to come from here over to here. So we got to have a little bit more correction. God does that with us sometimes. He'll speak to us. Holy Spirit whisper to us, tell us what to do. And sometimes we get a little hard-headed. We won't respond right away. So God gives us a little love tap and says, okay, come on, get over there, child. But then we just experience his love just because, not because we're doing something wrong, but just because we're his child. Just as a father wants to love on his kids because they're his children. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to take care of you. Go to Romans 8. You ever wonder how strong God's love is? Romans 8 tells us. There was verses in Ephesians had some similar wording as we're going to see here in Romans 8. Romans 8 is a good passage to take. If someone's out there that you're talking to, they tell you, well, you can lose your salvation. Take them to this passage, okay? And say, explain to me then this passage if I can lose my salvation. Because salvation is the love of God in our life, okay? This is how strong God's love is. Romans 8, 37 through 39 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, that would include you,
Amen.
Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's eternal security, folks, right there. God loves us so much, he says, look, once you get my love, there's no separating it. Because you know what? Hell is not a place of God's love. It's a place of God's wrath. And if I can lose my salvation and end up back there, well, then that verse is a lie. Which means God's lied, and God doesn't lie. It doesn't work. Eternal security, God's love. Once you get it, you can't lose it. You have it forever. And you'll be with him one day. Praise the Lord for that. He loves us. So, because God loves us, well, what does that mean? Well, in turn, that love should flow out of us. Go to Mark chapter 12. Of course, tonight is the night I don't wear my watch. And the clock is dead on the wall. So I figure I grab my phone, or we might be here longer, because I'm just going to keep looking up going, man, I got 45 minutes to keep going. I better keep on a preaching. Until maybe I think it's, it's 8:45. I got to let these folks out, you know. And then again, it might be 10 o'clock by then. And don't worry, my wife would be coming in that back going, what are you doing? Wind it up. All right, I need to get there. Mark 12. I looked up and I'm like, man, I got preaching early. What in the world? There is no way we were that fast with the singing. Brother Kelly, if you're watching, the clock's not working back there. So, Brother Kelly, he's a... Folks, I don't know how many of you know this, but he does a lot around here. He really is. He's a blessing, okay? He really is a blessing. He does a lot. So if you ever just, man... Just go by and say, thanks for all you do, Brother Kelly. You want to encourage him, just thank him. So, you know, he just, man, I need something at school. I just, hey, this ain't work. I'll take care of it. I'll be up there tomorrow or something. And it just, he's a blessing, I tell you what. All right, Mark 12, verse 28. It says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? So you got all the by then they had figured out there was like 600 some commandments, okay? And, of course, the most famous are the Ten Commandments. I'm thinking he's thinking all of them. Maybe he's pinpointed it down to maybe one of the ten, but, you know, he thought he'd be really brilliant here and come to Jesus and go, hey, what is the greatest commandment, you know? Amen. Waiting to, you know... What? Let's list them in a numerical order here from one being the greatest all the way down to the 653rd. This is the least of the commandments. All right? And Jesus, in all his wisdom, answers them. And it says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. He just takes them all, puts them down into two. And it's interesting because if you take the Ten Commandments, well, the first four are our relationship with God. And the last six is our relationship with each other. And if you think about all of the commandments, that's what they all are about. It's either your relationship with God or your relationship with another person. And so Jesus just, he made it real simple for him. He that man started out with, 653, we'll say, and now he was down to two. A lot easier to keep track of two than it is 600 plus. He was thinking, man, maybe the one that I struggle with the most will be way down here. And yeah, I got a feeling that he probably struggled with both of those there. Just like we struggle with both of those. So when we receive that love, man, we need to, if we're rooted and grounded in that love, well, then we need to be rooted and grounded in bringing that love back out. Okay? And it starts first with our love to God. Okay? We need to make sure that our love with God is where it ought to be. We're loving with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Okay? Recently, I preached a message on how, you know, how we can love God in our love in our service and in love in our time. Okay? Go back to Luke 10. We'll little refresher here tonight. Luke 10, verse 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing, good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So we got Jesus coming to Mary and Martha in Lazarus' house. And Martha's in the kitchen. She's busy working. All right. She's serving. She's going to make sure she's got her best for Jesus, because Jesus came to her house to eat. She's going to make her best. Look. When we work for the Lord, we should do our best, folks. We should show him our love. Look, there should be something that you do so that you can show your love to God. We should serve him somehow, some way in our service. Okay? I hope you can find something to do, whether it's here at the church, whether it's out there on the week. Maybe you're just a good testimony and you're trying to serve him by giving the gospel out to others. Okay? Good. Keep doing it. Maybe there's something here that you can do. I know we've got some folks that are involved in some ministries here, but man, that's one way to do it is to get involved in the ministry. Find out what am I good at? I figure out something you might be good at and say I can do this, and you know, Pastor, can I be a part of this? Can I do this thing? But find a way to serve them. That's how we can show our love to God. That's one way. I find it interesting when Martha comes to Jesus and tells him, like, Lord, tell Mary to come in here. Because Mary was showing her love to Jesus totally differently. She wasn't working. She's doing the complete opposite. She's actually sitting at his feet. And she's just listening to him, spending time with him. And when Martha comes and berates her sister she berates Jesus for allowing her sister to be there. Jesus doesn't rebuke Mary. And he kind of gives a rebuke to Martha in a sense, he doesn't rebuke Martha for doing what she's doing either. He's just telling her, look, this is what Mary's chosen. I'm not going to take that away from her. He doesn't tell Martha, no, you're wrong. You shouldn't be in the kitchen. You should be out here. No, because she was doing something for him. But at the same time, he said, hey, Mary is showing me her love by spending some time with me. And I'm not going to take that away from her. Just like we need to find some way to serve them and show them our love in our service, we should make sure that we find time in the day to just spend time with him. Say, Lord, I love you. I'm going to put all else aside. I'm going to put the phone down. I'm going to turn the YouTube off. I'm going to turn the Netflix off. I'm going to turn the video games off. I'm going to, whatever it may be, okay, I'm going to make sure I've got some time set aside. And Lord, I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to show you that I love you because, look, you folks are busy. I know you are. Okay? No two ways about it. God knows you're busy. You got stuff to do. Don't you think it makes him happy when you go, Lord, I'm going to carve out some time in my day to make sure I can spend with you? Because he knows you've got things to do, bills to pay, people to spend time with. But I'm sure it puts a smile on his face and he goes, oh, there's my child wanting to spend some time with me. I mean, you did it tonight. You said, Lord, I'm going to go to church on Wednesday. I know there's going to be preaching. I'm going to be there. You came to spend some time with your Lord because you said, hey, I'm going to hear from him. What's he got for me? So, right here, I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing on a Wednesday night. Because you know what? You find something to do on Monday night, on Tuesday night, Thursday night, Wednesday night. You find stuff to do on them other nights. I'm sure everyone can figure out something to do. Whether it might just be, hey, my lazy boy hasn't had much time to spend with me. And it's been missing me, and I need to... I don't know what that's like. I don't have a lazy boy. But if you've got a lazy boy, I'm sure you know, your lazy boy misses you at times. You got to make sure you give it some quality attention there. But you know what? You said, God, you're important. I want to spend some time with you in church. It's good for that. It's good that we show God our love by, hey, God, I want to serve you. And then, God, I want to spend some time with you. Well, we show our love to God, but then secondly, it says we need to, back there in Mark, we need to show our love to each other. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Love our neighbor as ourself. Well, folks, we sure love ourselves quite a bit. But we sure struggle with that loving our neighbor as ourself. The Bible even tells us to esteem others better than ourselves. That's taking it up even further. Now you're not loving someone as an equal to you. You're loving them even more than you. that's not easy to do. Well, I got two different folks that we need to show our love to. Two different folks. Go to John chapter 13. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Oh, so we need to show that love others better than yourself. That's to each other. Okay? Our Christian brothers, our Christian sisters. Okay, you know that love and service and love and time, that can be applied right here too. This way, yeah, it should be done this way, but we can do it this way. You know, you say, well, how can I show love to somebody here? I mean, I see him, I'll talk to him on Sunday and I'll talk to him on Wednesday, but how else can I show love to them? Invite them over to your house for supper. I mean, that's one way. You just say, hey, if you're not a very good cook, maybe don't invite him over to your house for supper, because, you know, maybe you offer to take him out to eat, okay? If you're, you know, you can't cook very well, I just, you know, you're like, oh, I got Kraft mac and cheese and hot dogs, you know. maybe take him out to eat or something, okay? But, man, maybe you can cook well and you say, hey, I'd love to have you over. Man. Most folks I know, they like a good meal. Most people don't turn that down. And then, man, I don't know, I always enjoy just having a fellowship. I mean, when we have folks over at our house, man, we sit down and eat a good meal and have good fellowship and just have a good time, man. And it's really nice about having Christians over to your house? You don't have to, normally don't have to wonder, are they going to cuss? Most Christians, you know, we try to watch what we say because the Bible tells us to, so you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, you have a lost person over, you're not sure what might come out of their mouth. It's a blessing. Man, you can have some fellowship one with another. We also can just show love by helping each other out. All right? You hear somebody has a need and you can fill it? Man, jump in and fill that need. God gave you a talent in an area and you can bless somebody with that talent, do so. I've tried to, it's something that God has told me early on when I was young. He's given me a gift of being able to, I've got the skill in working with my hands and craftsmanship and whatnot. And when I've been able to and can, hey, if someone needs a hand with something, I'm I'll be there if I can be there. And no, you don't owe me anything. I remember one time I had a fellow Christian. I worked with him, and he came over to my house, and he was like, I'll come give you a hand with your stuff. And I was like, sweet. Well, I was thinking he was just going to come be a blessing, because that's how I am with everybody else. I've got friends in my church. That's how we are with each other. We just, hey, if we can help you out, help each other out. Well, he came. He worked for me for the day, and when the day was done, he looked at me and was like, well, I figure my time's worth about this much money, and you want to pay me, or you want to do this? I was like, I mean, caught me off guard. I was like, I didn't realize I was going to have to pay you for this. I just thought you were coming to, okay. You want to be encouragement to somebody? If you got a skill in an area and you can be a help to somebody, man, do that. Just say, hey, let me come over and give you a hand with that. I don't know what that may be. Who knows? There's all kinds of things. But man, that talk about showing someone you care about them by taking your talents and saying, let me help you out. Let me be a blessing to you. All right? Loving our brethren. You know, and what does this verse say? If we just love one another, what does that do? I mean, one, it will help bring us closer together, I believe. I mean, there's all kinds of things that loving each other will do. But according to this scripture, it tells us that those guys out there will know that we are a disciple of him. That's the big benefit. If we show love one to another, yeah, the world will know we're his disciple.
Amen.
That's interesting. Not if you go to church, not if you're reading your Bible, not if you're witnessing, not if you're preaching on the street. And obviously some of those things will apply, but it's if we have love one to another, they'll know we're his disciple. The second group we need to love is our enemies. And it shouldn't be the person across the pew, across the aisle.
Amen.
I hope that's not the enemy. I hope you're not thinking that enemy. No, they're your brother or sister in Christ. They shouldn't be your enemy. They should be family. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Like I was thinking about this, I thought, who's our enemy? It's the world. The world is the enemy of Christ. We belong to him, so guess what? We're the enemy of the world. They're the enemy of us. But we still need to love them. Look, there's a lot of wicked things they do. There's a lot of wicked things that are coming out that the world is just, I mean, the last couple of years, it's been crazy. I mean, just the bombardment of the wickedness that they want to shove in our face and say, you must accept this. You have to accept this or you're a bigot. Like, I'm not a bigot. I care about these people, but can't we agree to disagree? No, that can't happen anymore. No, you have to agree with me or you're, there's no two ways about it. And it's getting to the point, if you don't agree with them, you deserve to go to jail. Really now? I mean, that's what they want. You know what, that's an enemy. But we still got to love them. Stand up for truth, stand up for what's right, but we still got to have love for them. What does that mean? Well, hey, I'm willing to still give them the gospel.
Amen.
Now, they may reject it, and if they do, okay, you did your part. Look, if you tried giving it to them and they didn't want to hear it, okay, fine. I'll stop. When I'm out door knocking, if I knock on somebody's door and I try to witness to them and they want nothing to do with it, I don't stay at the door and keep going, but I have the truth. You need to open up. You need to get saved. You're going to hell. No, I don't do that. Because guess what? They'll never listen to the gospel message ever again. I I'll try to give it to them, and if they don't want to hear it, okay. I'll be respectful, but I tried. I need to at least have enough love in my heart that I'm going to say, look, I'm going to give you the gospel, but if you don't want it, that's up to you. You can't reject it. But don't keep bombarding them with it. Now, if you find opportunity, you know, hey, you're with a coworker, and they say, I don't want to hear it again. Okay. But you know there's ways to say it nicely. You just got to be creative. You got to look for those opportunities to say, Lord, when, you know, maybe not today, but maybe next week I can just give a little word of testimony. Not trying to jab them, but just to let them know, remind them. And you know what? That coworker, yeah, they're your enemy, but we treat them with love. And maybe they'll come around and they'll go, there's something different about you than everybody else. What is it? And you say, well, you remember that Jesus I told you about that you didn't want nothing to do with? He's the difference. But if we live and act like them, they're not going to see anything different from us compared to the rest, everyone else. So why would they want what we have if we're no better than them? Love our enemies. Man, give the gospel and care for them. Hey, you can even pray for them. They can't stop you from doing that. I've heard of people saying that, you know, you better not be praying for me. Well, good luck on that one, man. Because I've heard it from good Christians that, you know, wouldn't quit praying. They thought, yep, I'm going to do it even more. But love, we need to have love. Look, we need to be rooted and grounded in love. First of all, the love that God has for us. Be rooted in it. Then secondly, rooted in that love that we give back to God and back to each other. Man, if we're rooted and grounded in this love, then all that other stuff, man, it'll come for us. And then we'll have a desire to help others to grow in those other areas as well. And it won't be a spirit of judgment because, oh, I can't believe you're not there yet. But instead, hey, how can I help you get there? Look, because God loves us, then we love him. And if we love God, then we love our brother. But if we don't love our brother, the Bible says we don't love our God. All that's got to be there. All of it's got to be there. And if we have that love, we'll go back to Ephesians. Let's finish back there in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:17. The way I read it, it tells us if we're rooted and grounded in love, then we can better comprehend, better understand the love God has for us, the love he has shown to us through Jesus Christ, which tells me that we can better give that love back out. Look at verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. If you're rooted and grounded in that love, you'll better understand it. And you'll better be able to give it out. But you got to be rooted and grounded in it first. How's your root system? Is your priorities in loving God first and then loving others? Or is it focused on other things? Look, those other things are good and needful in our life, but our focus first and foremost needs to be we're grounded in that love that God gives to us, and then we're in kind showing it back. Are you doing it? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Just take a moment right now. We'll just stay in your seats. Take a moment. Think about it. How's your love life to God? Are you showing him the love that he deserves? That you know he deserves?
And then how's your love life to other people? Do you show love? If you could ask people, would they say, yeah, I feel that you love and care for me? Or does it need some work done on it? Look, you're not dead, which means God's not done with you. Which means you can still change, you can still adjust, you can adapt, you can improve. Just like I can do all that too. And that's what God wants us to do.